Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Psalm 31. If you've ever been unsure of what to do next, wondering if every next move could be the wrong one, then you'll understand how David feels in Psalm 31. If he steps left, there's a trap. If he steps right, a hidden mine. Whether covered mine or mine shaft, David is paralyzed by fear, unsure what to do next. Maybe you felt that way before, and to top it off, no matter what decision you make, it seems that the critics, the accusers, will broadcast your failures to everyone, adding insult to injury. What do you do in a situation like that, where you're unsure, unable to move? Darned if you do, darned if you don't. In verse 1, David turns to the only place he can, to God. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. David has a choice. He can take his chances. He can roll the dice. But he may fall into the hidden trap, a dark hole, surrounded by steep walls, powerless in the pit, with no way out. Feeling powerless, David realizes he's already surrounded by steep walls, but they aren't a prison. They're a refuge. Strong walls surround him. Walls of protection. Now, God is all around him. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. David is swallowed up by God and his protection. In verse 2, he prays inside that refuge. Turn your ear to me. Come quick to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Note in verses 2 through 4 how often David uses terms like rock, fortress, refuge, just like David used to live in caves when he was younger, to hide himself from Saul. So now, he's hiding in God, asking God to be the impenetrable wall that makes David feel safe. How fast our perspective can change. Have you never experienced it? The Bible is filled with examples of traps turned refuge. Moses at the Dead Sea finds his dead end is really his deliverance, as the sea closes behind him over a pursuing Pharaoh in his wake. Daniel's three friends, thrown into the fiery furnace, discover their trap turns refuge as a fourth figure, one like the Son of Man, appears in their midst. Here in the same way, David, thinking he might be ready to die, lets his desperation lead him to ultimate surrender in verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Wait, I've heard that before. Who else uttered those words? Someone who was in a trap. Someone innocent who was betrayed, treated like a criminal, and mocked. That's right. Jesus uttered these same words when condemned to die like a criminal, when he was trapped, cuffed, beaten, and nailed to the cross. And because he would find no peace from men, like David, he surrendered himself to a faithful God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. David continues in verse 6, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. If we were David's mom, we might say, David, we don't hate. But David does hate. He hates those who cling to worthless idols. We often hate in others, funny enough, what we see most in ourselves. Perhaps David is fighting desperately to cling to his trust in God. And it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us. Sometimes it's easier to put your trust in God than it is to keep it there. As David battles desperately to keep all of his hope and confidence in God, David makes a shift in verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy. You have set my feet in a spacious place. Suddenly, David isn't concerned anymore about making a false step and tumbling into a pit. No, now he has breathing room. He can stride around. He's got a wide berth. Where did David find this? Remember, he had felt hemmed in, trapped. But then when he realized that he wasn't in a pit, but in a refuge, he takes himself back in his memory to the cave he used to hide in as a young man. That cave that symbolized to him God's protection. That rock when he was young, and trusting God back then seemed so easy. And it's there that he remembers God's incredible love that filled that cave. And David makes a choice here, and it's all about perspective. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. Those times in the cave, when Saul was hot in pursuit trying to ferret David out of his hiding places, so many times it seemed like the end. But David remembers, you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy. And he thinks he probably won't now. God has never let him down. So even though David is not yet delivered in the present, he knows that this present pain will turn to future praise. Eventually, he remembers God's faithfulness in the past and resets his faith for the future. But back to the present. Verse 9, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors, and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten, as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. Talk about drama. Talk about trauma. David has been through the ringer. Distress, eyes weary from crying, weak with sorrow, bone tired, shunned. He's the contempt of his neighbors. Like Job, even his closest friends can't be counted on. Those who see me on the street flee from me. There's no greater loneliness on earth than when your closest friends abandon you along with everyone else. But again, David is not alone. Verse 14, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. What a powerful statement. My times are in your hands. David here surrenders to the suffering. Like anyone, David wants deliverance right now, but surrenders to God's timetable. He allows his suffering to test his faith here, and his faith holds, and David surrenders. Verse 16, let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Up till now, David had seen only darkness, even tucked away in the rock, the refuge of the Lord. It's been dark there in this place of suffering. So David prays, now, Lord, let your face shine on your servant. In verses 17 and 18, David prays for his enemies to be turned to darkness. But then, in verse 19, David expects to receive good things from the Lord. We all know that feeling, expecting a delivery, a package in the mail filled with good things. You know that feeling, right? Looking at the mailbox, checking it every day to see if that amazing package has arrived. David knows that God has good things stored up for him in verse 19. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. What a shift in perspective. David says, in my alarm I said, I was cut off from your sight. He thought God wasn't seeing him. Yet now he knows God has heard him. You have heard my cry for mercy, and he has shown me the wonders of his love. There in that refuge, in that trap-turned fortress, David is surrounded by God's love. He'd felt like a city under siege, but now God's impenetrable love changes all of that. And it's not just for David. He loves us greatly too. So David says, love him back. Verse 23, love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him. That's you, and that's me. So a final exhortation in verse 24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.